having been with you. About the promises of God. This is a series of speaking about promises. And it's important to understand the power of promises when they come from God. Number of years ago, I remember one student that got an offer from university to do a good course in medicine in one of the universities in Tennessee. And he met the dean of New South Wales University, and the dean told him, "I'll give you an offer." He went outside and telephoned the university that he was supposed to go to and declined his offer. His mom told him, "How unwise you are. You declined an offer for an oral word from another person." He told her, "Mom, he's the dean. And he's a very honorable man. He told me that I'll give you an offer." I remember this discussion very well. And it ended, of course, that the dean gave him the offer. Why I say this story? To tell you that when the person is honorable and give you a promise, he'll do it. There are some people like that. If they give promise, they do it. It's impossible for the Pope, Tawadros, for example, that tells you that I'll do that for you, or I offer you that, or come and there's something for you, and then you forget. Impossible. There are honorable people of high standard that they don't change. Who is more honorable than God? So, when the Lord gives promise, He fulfills. And this is our chance. Our chance is to get something. Second, to know the future. Some people become like prophets. And you know that this is going to happen. Why? Because there's a promise from God. The idea of if so and so, then so and so. This is very true with God. When God says, do that, then you receive that, He does. He never... These rules are 100% true. There are many rules in the Bible, and you'll go through them gradually, one after the other. And tonight is one of them, which is, if you fear the Lord, what's going to happen to you, so and so. But before I start dwelling on this first promise, I'd like you to understand the concept of, if you do something, then you receive. We've seen that all over the history with no fail. Like when the Lord promises something and you fulfill it, your part, then it will happen. The title of this series is a verse that in the invitation of this series of talks, it's written. Again, it's another promise, which says that the eyes of the Lord search the earth to show Himself powerful for those who are loyal to Him. So there is reward for loyalty. If you are loyal, then you see the power of God. If you prove your loyalty, then you see the power of God. Some people say, "I don't know, I almost lost my faith because I don't see power from God." That's because you are not loyal. If you are loyal, then you see the power of God. Some people say that possibly people are very friendly to God. God is friendly to them. I'm not like that. God favors them. He doesn't favor me. You know how the Lord becomes a friend? The Lord becomes a friend of you if He gives you integrity. Where did you get that from? From the story of Abraham. The Lord told him, "Keep your integrity, then I'll be your friend." And it happened. Abraham is the person of integrity. What's integrity? Integrity means that what you say, you mean. You don't pretend and say something and you mean another thing. You don't have two lives. One life hidden and another hard life seen to others. This is lack of integrity. But the ones that are keeping their integrity before God, then God selects them to be friends. So you know, I say many times to people that out of that sometimes we become almost prophets. We know that this is going to happen to this person because he did so and so. I said to some of you the story of one student in our church. I may repeat it, just a good reminder. especially if some didn't hear this story before. It was something that happened in our church, maybe 10 years ago, something like that, or a bit more, I'm not sure, or less. A group of people in our church were doing final year engineering, and among the group was Abuna Mark. And the group had common assignment. And one of them, in a very naive way, they distributed the work. Each student had to do a section in this common report, and the report carried heavy credit points, maybe 12 credit points or something like that. It's a project final year in engineering. And one of them was not cautious, so he copied from the internet directly, put it in the report. And that was the first year that New South Wales University introduced the automatic check. They check automatically. So they caught them. They copied from the internet. He sent them a scary letter saying to them that you have two options: to pull out of the subject and then you repeat it next year, or you argue, you go like court, and you can get whoever defend you. But if you prove guilty, then likely that you lose 2 years from it. You will be expelled 2 years from the university. Very hard decision. If they pull out, they'll have to stay 1 year more. They were graduating. And if they continue and they argue, then there is risk that they'll be expelled 2 years from you. So they came to me and said, make a decision for us. How can I make a decision? Am I Bob Carollus here to say, Then I said, who are the group? Then they mentioned the name. Among the names was Albert, who is Abuna Mark. Then I called Albert. Albert, did you cheat? He said, no. Did you copy from the internet? He said, no. Did you know that one of your colleagues was doing that? He said, no. Then I said, thank you. Then I gathered the group. All the group used to confess with me. I told them, don't pull out. One of them said, Abuna may end by losing 2 years. I said, don't pull out. Just go and the Lord will give you words in this show course case, whatever. They went there and they confessed. They confessed that there was that mistake. You know how it ended? They received a letter saying to them, don't do that again. And they graduated the same year, and I think Abuna Mark got distinction. Where did I get that confidence from? I did that confidence from the verse or the situation that says that if you keep your purity, you'll be successful. I felt that Albert will not be let down. He'll not be. And God will not allow that to happen. Wherefore? Because of his lifestyle. So there are some people, to me, I know from the Bible that they apply the rule. And if they apply the rule, they receive. It's good to know that. I love the seals of promises of God. So tonight, we'll continue a little bit to speak about the consequences of being in the fear of God. After I say the consequences, you will feel that's great. Then you'll ask, what's the fear of God? And then the last question would be, how to acquire the fear of God? I'll start by a special psalm in the sunset prayer that speak about the share of those who fear God. One of the psalms in the sunset prayer, Psalm 128, I read it and listen carefully. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Not some, everyone. As if he's saying the rule is general. There is no exception. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now listen to the promises. If, then what? When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. It will not be bad with you, it will be well with you. Look at what's going to happen to your family. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. You know, the vine is always symbolic of joy. Why? Because of the wine. The vine produces wine. And the wine is always symbolic in the Bible of being joyful. It produces joy, which is true. The wine makes people joyful. So your wife will be a source of joy in your family. What else? How about the children? Your children, like olive plants, all around your table. The olive plants are producing very sweet aroma and very nice look. Though your children will be around your table, very nice and producing joy in the family. But is that for everyone? No. For everyone who fears the Lord and walks in His way. And then he says, behold, listen, be careful, see what I'm saying. Thus shall be the man, shall the man be blessed, which man? Who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion. Zion is His dwelling, His heaven. So He bless you from His dwelling. And may you see the good of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is your soul, your family, your church. All the days of your life, not some of the days, all the days of your life, you see the joy, you see the provision. Yes, may you see your children and children, so you'll have extended life to see your grandchildren. Peace be upon Israel. So this is one of many promises for those who fear God. When I gave this talk last week to the other group, so I went to Google fear of God in the Bible to see what are the consequences. I filled 4 foolscap pages, verses that give promises for those who fear God. Among these promises, I didn't get the paper with me tonight, but among these promises is that He revealed His secrets to you. It's very important to understand the meaning of revealing the secret. God trusts those who fear Him, so He tells them secrets that is not to be told to others. What does it mean? The Lord will tell you something. Will tell you what's going to happen to you. Will tell you if this is successful or not. He will reveal His secrets to you. A number of years ago, a family in Sydney, they have their grave is above ground in the Catholic section, very expensive part, that they put the bodies, you know, normally in the Catholic part we put the body in the ground, but in that part they put it in shelves on a building, very expensive, limited number of people have that. In one morning, the man who lives in Sydney called his son, who is graduate working, and told him, get the key to the tombs. He said, father, anyone in the family died? He said, you'll know soon, but prepare the key. And then after some time, he asked him again, do you have the key? He said, yes, father, I have the key. But why? Is anyone from the family died that will have cemetery visit? He said, you will know, son. And then he went, had shower, and went out of the bathroom and started reading the Bible and slept and died. His son was shocked. The father knew. We had a case that a person wrote the time, not only the day, the time of his departure. He said, Thursday, that time, I'll pass away. Be it. Collected the family, gathered them at a certain time. This happened many times. It happened in Egypt, one of the monks recently. He was in one of the hospitals, and he was a bit tough with the Muslim ladies and shouting at them and things like that. And when he died, one of his colleague monks went to one of the Muslim nurses and said, "I'm sorry if my colleague was a bit tough on you." She said, no, he's a saint." He told her, "Why do you say that?" She said to him, "He told me, go out, but come 12 noon exactly. You'll find me dead. If my eyes are still open, close them." And then 12 noon, she suspected. She went inside. She found him dead and still warm, just to die. And she said, "This man is amazing. He knew exactly the time, 12 noon." So this is what I say. Those who fear God, one of the consequences is that He will reveal to you His secrets. To the extent that sometimes you like to go in a project or type of study or buying something, you have a feeling that it is right or wrong. It's good or bad. Does that happen to everyone? No, it's only to those who fear God. Because there's a promise that those who fear God, He will reveal His secrets to them. What other promises are given to those who fear God? There's one holy chapter, which is the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. The holy chapter is directed to those who tremble at the word of God. That when God says something, I can't disobey Him. I cannot disobey Him. I tremble. God said that, I can't do otherwise. He is calling those people who tremble at His word. He says to them what? He says, before you enter any pain, the pain will disappear. He says to them that before you get in trouble, the trouble will be bypassed. Read this chapter, the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. And he says that you will be carried on the shoulders, and you will be dandled on the knees, as if you have a baby put on the knees and dandled the baby. That's the way the Lord will deal with you, as if you are His baby. That you'll never be disappointed, you'll never be let down. There's one verse in the book of Proverbs that is very, very encouraging. It is for those people who need not to be disappointed. You know that sometimes you are in a situation that begs the Lord, "Don't disappoint me, don't disappoint me." There is a hope, but the chance is not very high. Will I be disappointed or not? What can I do? I remember I was in that situation one day, and I kept praying to the Lord, "Give me something to do to guarantee that I will not be disappointed." And then I opened the Bible randomly, and I got this verse. And since then, I saw this verse together. It is in the book of Proverbs. It says, "Be in the fear of the Lord the whole day, and your expectations will not be cut short." If you are in the fear of the Lord the whole day, then what you expect will happen. You will not be disappointed. Who says that? God. Does He lie? Does He give promises and doesn't fulfill? Impossible. It's God. He will not be God. If God gives a promise and doesn't fulfill, we don't follow Him. He's not God. Because all other people do that. How about God? God says and implements. As I say, that if you Google or go through all the verses of the consequences of fearing God, you'll be surprised about what can you receive from God if you fear Him. After this, I think everyone should feel, I need to know what is the fear of God. If that fear of God produces all this, what is exactly the fear of God? So now we shift to the second point, which is, what is the fear of God? And then the final point will be things that will help me acquire it. The fear of God includes being scared of Him. There's nothing wrong about being scared from God. Because some preachers say, it's not to be scared of Him. No, you have to be scared of Him. Why? Because as much as He offers, He also punishes. And I have to understand that I don't like to live in a country that there's no police. I don't like to live under a boss that doesn't strictly stop the wrong things. Stopping the wrong things is good, and God does that. Stop the wrong things, so He punishes. So I have to be scared of Him. The only difference between being bad fear and good fear is the love and the attraction. I fear Him, but I'm attracted to Him. I don't hate Him. I love Him. I fear Him and love Him. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. It's a culture. Nowadays, this culture disappeared from the Western world. But still it is in the third world. When we're young, there's always in the family the great-grandparent that is a figure, that is a bit scary. When he's there, no one can misbehave. But all of us love him. He gives presents. On the feast day, he gives money to every child of the family, and so on. So we love him, but we fear him. So that fear comes out of tremendous respect. You feel that he is a figure that not to be... you have to respect him enough. He said something, you can't disobey him, because he's very generous and he's very lovable. God is like that. In the absolution that the priest says, include expression that's very nice, it says, implant in us your fear and your attraction. Show izda'afina khofak wa shu'a. I'm attracted to you, but I fear you. How? Yes, that's the case. I'm attracted to God. I like to be in His presence. I like to be with Him, but I fear Him. So I'm cautious not to do anything that upsets Him. Because if I upset Him, I lose His favor. There's a verse that says that the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him. So I cannot afford making God turn His face from me. Because once He watches me, He protects, He provides, He keeps me safe. No one can hurt me, because His eyes are upon me, if I fear Him. So this is part of the meaning of the fear of God, that yes, I respect Him. I respect all what belongs to Him. For example, when I enter the church, it's not like any other place. I don't enter the church and start, say, smoking and eating and laughing loudly. No, it's the house of God. I respect it. I respect it very much. When I come to the house of the Lord, this is belonging to God. Even when I look at the Bible, I carry the Bible with respect and with reverence. Anything that belongs to God, we kiss the Bible. You know, they always make a joke that the Orthodox people kiss the Bible and leave it. Protestant people open the Bible and don't read it, but don't kiss it. So the symbol is that we have to combine both. You respect and know. You know and respect. You love, attract, but you deal with that, what's related to God, in a different way, including His servants. Like when you deal with a priest, for example, or deal with a bishop, or with the patriarch, with the church, with the chalice, with Holy Communion, whatever relates with the Bible, whatever relates to God, is to be dealt with. There is no joke, there is no sarcastic comments, there is no irrespect to that. I don't take any silly joke about God. People crack jokes about God, you don't even laugh or smile. You don't share with them. No. There is a special respect that is given to God that is symbolic of knowing how important He is. And because you fear God, then you never on purpose do something knowing that He is upset from. I told some of you this story before. There is one person in our church that came from Buddhist background. He was Buddhist. He's from Europe, but he believed in Judaism, Buddhist. And then he was baptized and became Orthodox. And I remember one day that I came to the church early. I found him at the door waiting for me and saying, "Father, I came early to tell you a miracle that happened with me yesterday." And it was a really nice miracle. This man is an artist, and he draws very nicely, and he draws the face of Jesus on transparent round glass and put light behind it, and he enjoys turning the light off in the house, and the only thing that shines in the night is the face of Christ. You don't feel that it is as if Christ is smiling during that day. He loves that, and he developed strong relationship with the Lord. One day he was watching something wrong on the computer, and while he was watching this pornographic scene, the light disappeared. First he saw that electricity was cut, but he observed no, electricity was on, but the Lord disappeared. Then he felt it is reminder. So he turned the computer off, he fell on his knees and apologized to the Lord, saying, "I'm sorry, I was doing something wrong." Then at that minute, the light shone again and the face of the Lord came to his heart, to his room. And he said that by all measures, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Electricity is connected. Just that the Lord liked to show me that I don't like to watch you doing something wrong or watching something wrong. So, being in the presence of God and the fear of God, we should obey His commandment such that we will not lose His favor. And we should always prove to Him that we are loyal to Him, and that's the fear. That's the meaning of fear of God. It includes the element of fear. It includes the element that I'm scared of what can happen, and includes a lot of respect to His Majesty. The last point is how. How can I develop that in my heart? How? There are a number of ways that can help us to revive that feel of it. Number one, in order to know the fear of God, you have to know Him. And once you know God more and more, read about Him, be in His environment, you know more, then you start developing this idea of fearing His name. You befriend the people that fear Him, because if I'm surrounded with people that ignore God, then I see it easy. All is ignoring God. No, let me have selective type of friends that respect God, then I'll be in this environment of respecting God with them. Another thing that creates the fear of God in my heart is death. I remember one day a youth was visiting me at home. He was speaking to me. He came to confess. At that time, I used to accept confession at my place. He was confessing in my house. And while he was there, I received a telephone call from a person that just died. His family, I'm saying, that this person just died. Come please to pray. Then I was speaking in Arabic. His Arabic is not qualifying him this use much. Then he said, "You are going to hospital." I said, "You understood?" He said, "Yes." "Can I come with you?" I said, "Please come." But he didn't know that I'm visiting a dead person. He thought that I'm visiting a sick person. He entered with me, and for the first time in his life, he saw a dead person. I had never seen a dead person before. He looked at him and he said to me after that, "Can I confess again?" The second time the confession was much more real. So it's good to have the fear of God by remembering that no matter how long you live, one day you'll die. There is great difference between the death of those who fear God and the death of those who do not fear God. Great difference. The ones that lived in the fear of God, death to them is honor, a peace, and sometimes even attraction. Sometimes they feel, that's it. I'm old, I like to leave this earth and be with God. It's true, it's not imaginary. I saw a number of people that had this desire to be with the Lord. Enough is enough. And the other people that do not fear God, the scare that comes to them, the instant of their departure. I witnessed, and sometimes other priests with me, the two cases. I saw a person that was grabbing the bed. You know, in the hospital they give sides to prevent the person from falling, metal barrier to both sides. He was carrying it by his hands and crying loudly, "Leave me, leave me, leave me. Who are you?" He was seeing things. Imagine the person that the instant of his departure is saying, leave me, the scare on the face. And I saw a case with another priest, San Mark, who was visiting a person in one of the hospitals, and he actually came out of coma, smiled and moved, and was looking through the window, saved his hand with peace and smiled, and he died. We had a person recently, his grandchildren may be here. When he died, his family was around him, his sons, daughter, and grandchildren all around. And he told them with tremendous joy, "The time has come. I see St. Mary." Then he stopped speaking to them and started speaking to St. Mary. And then he died. The joy that came to the family is beyond the limit. Beyond the limit. They went joyful. What a departure for St. Mary. What a joyful ending. As the Bible says, that sometimes it comes as the time that the Lord set for better life. But better life for who? For those who feared Him. Will it be better life for those who disobeyed Him? No, no. The ones that will disobey Him, live in disobedience. So, I'm just saying that in order to create in your heart the desire to fear God, or the need to fear God, understand that life is temporary. And that's why we like to go to funerals. I remember in our church once, a number of years ago, a very wealthy person died. And the church, for the first time, I saw the church filled with cars of types that I never seen except in movies or games. You know, these cars of half million and things like that. The whole San Mark church was filled with type of cars. Very wealthy family. We never seen them. I don't know where they came from. They filled the church. And at that time, it was Abuna Tadus al Bahumi, a monk that is very aesthetic. I told him, "Do you like to give a sermon?" He said, "Yes, why not?" He stood and looked at the people gathered and said to them, "You know, all of you will be in this box one day." So the reality is reality. Yani, no matter what, you should be prepared for it. So I invite you, please, whenever you read the Bible, to look at the verses that give promises for those who fear God. There is nothing that makes us... Does it mean that I never sin? No. But it means that I'm always clean. What's the difference? The difference is that I can dirty my clothes easily, but immediately I clean it. Then I'm clean. So I cannot say that I didn't sin, but I say that I am repentant, so I am clean. So my comfort zone is cleanness. I'm always in the fear of God. Do I sin? Yes, I sin, but immediately I get out of it. I don't like to be in dirt. I remember one person living interstate that sent me a message, "Please, Father, absolve me, I fall in a bad habit." That was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping. And I put it on silent. Then 2 o'clock, he sent it again. "Please, Father, absolve me. I can't sleep." I was sleeping. Then I got up maybe 4 o'clock, to go to the bathroom. I found my mobile flashing. Look, 5 messages from the same person. I can't sleep, I can't sleep. I sent him, be absolved, he slept. Well, I love this. I really love that. I love this attitude that I'm dirty, I can't take it until I'm clean. Just confessing my sin, asking for absolution, the Father reads the absolution for me, then I'm clean, I start fresh. So I'm always clean. My comfort zone is clean. So I'm in favor of God, even if I do. So sometimes I fall, but immediately I stand. And in this case, I am in the fear of God all my life, and all the promises for the fear of God will still enjoy. Glory be to His name forever. Thank you.